Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And a glorious Saturday afternoon to you, fellow foodies. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of Social Hour at one of our favorite places. We are now at Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell, having a great time. Yucking up here again. Social Hour is here. It has started. It is underway. The red carpet has been rolled out for you. We've got $5 Moscow mules, Mexican mules, and Kentucky mules, all served in this iconic copper cup. And we're going to be talking to Grant Kruger here in a few minutes about the story of this copper cup and what it is that has fascinated the foodie community across southern Arizona, where they're lining up to get a sip of the cup. Anyway, that's going on up until 8 o'clock tonight. We've got a great food special. We're doing $4 craft beers, $5 select wines, $5 select martinis, $4 pretzels, $6 happy hour burgers, a ganga at twice the price, $5 pub chips, and get this, fellow foodies, the On the Menu Live special coming out from the majesty of Chef Jack Tate himself. We've got a beautiful plate of risotto with duck confit and spicy copa, fresh sage, orange twist, and pecorino romano cheese for only $22. So if you're listening to us on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM, if you're listening to us on the internet at www.onthemenulive.com, in fact, you might be listening to us worldwide. We're on the iHeartRadio network. We are glad that you're here. Now, we like to travel the world when it comes to bringing our celebrity co-hosts, rotating them in and out every single Saturday at 4. And there's a woman here in this community who is one of the oracles of wisdom when it comes to the culinary arts in Tucson. We haven't had her on the show in a long time. She's the food writer with the Tucson Weekly. Rita Conley is back.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, I'm at Union Public House in the middle of Social Hour. I mean, how bad can things be?
Could you ask for anything more? I don't think so.
Anyway, you know what I love about this place? I mean, when you think everyone's got their favorite pub in Tucson.
Right.
And Tucson has great pubs.
Right.
But did you know that the word pub is actually short for public house?
I do.
Okay, well,
I was
of course,
an English major.
You're Rita Conley, for crying out loud. So Tucson really only has one official public house, and why not broadcast here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon?
Exactly. It's gorgeous. They've got the patio out there that overlooks the St. Philip's Plaza. It's inside is gorgeous with a million TVs. It's just amazing. This is a beautiful, fantastic place. They did a great job of turning this into some nice neighborhood pub.
Yeah, I mean, as we say on the show all the time, a great culinary experience is more than just something that tastes good.
Right.
And the setting here that Grant Kruger and his team have created to really meet every sense, and there really is something here for every palate, every profile.
Exactly.
I think they've hit it out of the park.
Exactly. I totally agree. This is one of my favorite places. You know, when we go, where do you want to go for lunch? We say Union. We go, sure. No arguments ever.
So, you know, here I am drinking of this iconic Moscow Mule in a copper cup. And again, Grant Kruger is going to talk to us about what it is about this beverage that seems to have them lining up out the door. But what have you chosen for the beverage for this?
Well, I believe it's a nice Albarino. That's beginning to be my favorite go-to white wine. It's getting a little cooler here. You know, it's a perfect wine for summer. But, you know, it seems to be working nicely for the fall as well. It's just a nice little, it's very friendly. It's a friendly wine. And anybody I've ever turned on to Albarino falls in love with it. It's a really great wine. It's still inexpensive, pretty inexpensive.
That's huge. There's an absolutely valuable recommendation from Rita Conley herself. Now, an approachable wine that you have chosen. Where did you taste some approachable tequilas last week when you were one of the celebrity judges at the World Margarita Championship?
We had so many good drinks. They were just unbelievable. You know, they were all very unique. I mean, very different. There were no doubles up. You know, we tasted that one before. Some of the people really went out of their way. You know, Ryan Clark, who won, his drink was stupendous. And I really liked Aaron DeFeo's drink. It had beets in it, which I thought was really clever.
That's so vintage, Aaron DeFeo.
And then, you know, you get your vegetables, so your mom can't get mad at you for having one too many drinks. And then there was Kingfisher had a really great drink that had cucumber in it. And then, you know, it was just really a lot of fun. We had a really good time, and the time flew. It was like, I thought, okay, you know, it's 2 hours, we're going to be here. And it went like lightning.
We just
had a really good time. Joseph Blair was there. Edie Girolam was there. So, you know, and, you know, John Fina was there. It was just, we just had a really good time.
It sounds like a network of celebrity co-hosts of On Menu Live.
Exactly.
I mean, rarely is it, but you and Karen Zoldan and Edie Girolam, you rarely travel together for national security purposes.
Well, that's exactly, we're not quite the three witches in Macbeth, but yeah.
So we had Ryan Clark on the show last week, just hours after he was crowned the chief mixologist, bringing us the world's best margarita. And I'm fascinated by this young man who's darn not even 30 years old. 27 years old. He's now the reigning Iron Chef in Tucson. And now he makes this wonderful margarita, which I guess is called Tatas and Tequila.
Yes.
In sort of celebration of Breast Cancer Awareness
Month. Yes.
But he told us.
And it was pink. There was a pink
color
to it.
And he was pink. Again, vintage Ryan. He told us his secret ingredient was a lovely vinegar and some pomegranate jam.
Yeah.
Only Ryan Clark could call that.
And it was, I can't remember what kind of vinegar it was. It was some, not a balsamic. It was just something really. There was something different to it, and it was just a really. It was a pretty drink, you know. It went down almost too fast, you know, and Ryan is amazing. I just did an article on Ryan for the Weekly's semi-annual food issue, and I did an article on Ryan, and I every time I eat there, I'm amazed at his food, amazed.
That's great.
And he's really keeping it all together at 27. It's just utterly amazing.
Yeah,
you
think at that age, you're just getting your culinary career off the ground, and now, what else is there left?
We got to hang on to him, you know. We got to make sure that he stays in Tucson.
Indeed.
Because he's a treasure coming up, you know.
Well, in addition to, and I'm sure all of our listeners are big fans of yours, you get the privilege to taste the best of the best here in Tucson, and sometimes the best of the not so best.
Exactly.
And you have to tell the truth and write about it.
I do.
Some of our listeners might not be familiar with the fact that you're actually a writer with Guyot.com. Is that correct?
Yes. Guyot is an international lifestyle website. They've been around for really a long time, and they have different cities, you know, all over the world, and I'm the Tucson person. We have there's probably right now maybe 45 restaurants that we've got listed in there for Tucson. We add six.
Oh, great.
We add six every year. We update it every year. I'm in the middle of updating. I don't even know what I'm. You know, we've got something ready for next month. It's a great little thing, you know, they'll mention different activities that are going on, you know, the Margarita Festival, whatever else is happening in Tucson. It's a nifty website.
That's great. So, and with all the spare time you have left on your calendar, you've also created this wonderful brand called the Well-Fed Foodie.
That's me, the Well-Fed Foodie.
So I'm a Well-Fed Foodie in my own right, but talk to us about this brand that you've created.
Well, it's pretty brand new. I'm working on getting a website up, or at least a blog. I'm not technically smart enough to kind of do it by myself, so I got to find the right person. But right now it's on Facebook. I probably two or three times a week I put in my little bit of this, that, or the other thing. You know, someplace I've had dinner, someplace that's, you know, like in the Margarita Festival. I wrote about being on here. It's just little things that are going on in Tucson, and I'm learning to be a better food photographer. So sometimes the pictures are really nice, and sometimes they're just a little blurry. You know, it has a lot to do with the timing as the dinner went along. You know, I mean, I should take it right away at the beginning before I have any drinks, you know, because they do tend to get a little blurry. But it's a really fun little Facebook page.
You know, you can see the whole foodie world, there's been a renaissance, because you can't go out to dinner now on a Friday or Saturday night and not see virtually everybody at the restaurant taking pictures of their food,
which
I think to a chef could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, you know, certain restaurants don't let that happen, you know, and I can understand that. In New York City, Co., which is a David Chang restaurant, does not allow pictures. But I was fortunate a couple of years ago to eat there. My son-in-law was a chef there at that time, and he wasn't my son-in-law yet. But anyway, we were sitting there, and there's four people sitting next to us, and they were definitely taking pictures, but there's nothing they can really do. You know, you can't grab somebody and kick them out of the restaurant, per se, for taking pictures,
right.
You know. But it's an interesting phenomenon, you know. I mean, it's something that I don't think our parents would have ever thought of, you know. Why would you take pictures of food?
And that's just really has become a part of who we are, because
exactly.
A picture tells 1,000 words. And if you have a passion for food like you and I do,
right.
We love to have that complimentary you know, introduction. This is what the food is that's on the plate.
Exactly, exactly.
We're talking to Rita Connolly. She's our celebrity co-host for the full hour here on The Menu Live. We're broadcasting live from Union Public House, this wonderful culinary delight here on southeast corner of River and Campbell. Let me do our lineup. We're broadcasting deep in the heart of Social Hour again. We've got $5 Moscow mules, Mexican mules, and Kentucky mules that are served beautifully in this gorgeous copper cup that we're going to be talking to Grant Kruger about here in just a few minutes. We've got some other great specials, $4 draft beers. I lost count how many taps there are, Rita.
I don't know. It's a nice big bar. There's got to be plenty of them, right?
Yeah, $4 draft beers, $5 select wines, $5 select martinis. The iconic pretzel plate here, the board here at Union is only $4. $6 happy hour burgers, $5 pub chips. And you know what? I just had a celebrity sighting. I just watched Chef Jack Tate walk by. You know, he rarely comes out of the kitchen. He's a celebrity. There he is right there. He's Jack Tate.
Yay.
Anyway, he tells me, he's going to be our guest in the second half
of
the show.
Excellent.
But he tells me that he's rolled out the On the Menu Live special tonight, which is this beautiful plate of risotto, a duck confit, spicy copa, fresh sage, orange twist, and a pecorino romano cheese, and it's only $22, Rita Connolly.
Two of my favorite things, duck and risotto, you know, how could you put, and it's autumn, it's a beautiful dish for autumn, it would work out really nice, you know, and the food here is just so good. Everything I've ever had here has been amazing, you know, like
it.
From beginning to like desserts, you know, I love the pretzels, I love the fish and chips is out of this world. Just everything I've ever really had here has been really good.
I love it. You know, let's also just give a plug to my niece. My niece is a very proud employee
there you go.
Of Union Public House.
She deserves a raise.
Evelyn Ripple is around here somewhere, and Evelyn tells me there's a new fall menu that has just
been unveiled.
Okay. So we're going to be talking to Chef about
that.
Hi. Very, very exciting here. Again, we're broadcasting live from Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell. So we've got about another 30 seconds before we go to a commercial break, and I'm going to ask you one quick question,
sure.
Rita Connolly. You talked all about how much you love Union Public House.
I do.
Conveniently located at the Connolly household.
Totally.
Okay, other than Union, what's the new restaurant that has you fascinated from on the plate to the aesthetic to the environment to the vibe to the buzz? Hit it.
Okay, Sinaloa, Restaurant Sinaloa. It's a little Mexican restaurant on Prince Road. It has sincerely the best shrimp cocktail I've ever had in my entire life, and their shrimp tacos are just to die for, just to die for. It's a little, you know, you walk in, you go, oh, my gosh, I think I'm in Mexico. And there's, you know, nothing fancy about it. Cold beer, great, great Mexican seafood, fantastic.
Well, you have words from the mouth of an oracle of wisdom of food in this community. Rita Connolly, our celebrity co-host for the full hour, food writer with the Tucson Weekly. Anyway, this is Matt Russell on The Menu Live. We're going to be taking a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be sniffing out some of the best coffee in Southern Arizona. In fact, in all of the world, you don't have to go far to find it. You're listening to On The Menu Live on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM. Don't go away.
Guy has the big bite. He has the dainty bite. It's On the Menu, live with Matt Russell on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live, fellow foodies. This is Matt Russell, broadcasting live deep in the heart of Social Hour at Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell. We're having a great time. Happy hour specials. I need to say hello to my boys from Sierra Fitness who have come all the way out here to see this show. Love you guys. Thanks for coming out. Yes, we foodies have to get some exercise in from time to time.
Oh.
These guys laugh at me when they see me at the gym, though. You know, it's like I do the executive man's workout. I'm in and out in about 12 minutes.
That's a good one.
That's the way it rolls. But anyway, we're here with Rita Connolly, our celebrity co-host.
Hey, Matt.
Having a great time. So
definitely.
There's an event coming up here that I think is one of the most intriguing, creative events that has come to the Tucson streets in a long, long time. And we're getting into the fall weather. You know, it's dropping down and people start thinking about some hot beverages. And you know what? I think Tucson has some of the finest coffee shops, coffee houses, really in the western United States. And there's a woman here who wants to help reintroduce all the world of coffee to Southern Arizona. She's put something together called the Tucson Coffee Crawl, and Laura Adams is with us. What's going on, Laura?
Nothing much. Thanks so much for having me here.
She says nothing much. I mean, she's one of the busiest she's one of the busiest people in Southern Arizona. She says, oh, nothing much. Just stopped by, have a cocktail. But anyway, the Tucson Coffee Crawl is just right around the corner.
It is.
What is your idea for putting this event together? And talk to us about how it came together. together?
Well, you know, I'm actually a freelancer. I spend a lot of my quote-unquote office time in coffee shops, many of the ones here in Tucson. And I realized that they're beautiful spaces, but I don't know a whole lot about coffee. And then befriending the baristas, listening to people that are there at the shops, there's so much more there that I didn't understand. And I thought maybe other people would want to learn more about coffee,
great
too.
Idea.
So the Tucson Coffee Crawl is an opportunity for Tucsonans to learn more about the craft of coffee, specifically this third wave craft of coffee that's really come into Tucson, by attending tastings, cuppings, demonstrations that are all being hosted by the different coffee shops that are participating.
And how many coffee shops are a part of this event this year?
We have 7 roasters, 8 locations. I can list them here. We have Cartel, Sparkroot, Yellow Brick Coffee, Exo Roast Co., Cafe Luce, Adventure Coffee Roasting, and then also Raging Sage.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, you know, yeah. I'll have to put in a plug for my good friends over at Cafe Luce. I think they do some of the finest coffee that I've ever had. And, you know, and they got their marketing down right, because you can start smelling the roasting about 5 blocks before you get there.
And where are they located?
They're over there at Main Gate Square.
Okay.
And they also have a second location, I think, over on, I want to say by the Trader Joe's near River and Campbell.
They do.
Not
yeah, right here,
where
actually.
We are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's the idea? You're going to get a wristband and you're going to take a circuit tour of all these coffee houses, or how's it work?
You can map your own crawl. So if you go to TucsonCoffeeCrawl.com, you'll have a list there of all of the different demonstrations that are happening. And you can do it, you know, the 9 a.m. cupping at Cartel, meander down at 11 o'clock to Yellow Brick, who's going to be doing their cupping at a 47 Scott restaurant because they serve their coffee. So go online, see what interests you the most, and map your crawl. Decide how you want to meander through the different shops. They're also all offering discounts on beans and different products that are exclusive to the crawl.
Wonderful.
So you can stock up on gifts, or if you want to try the different beans that you're tasting during the event, you can do that too.
And I love mapping my own crawl.
Me too.
I've done the pub crawl. It's tough,
been a while,
you got to map out the crawl before you start.
Oh, totally.
I don't know if it's that way in the world of coffee. But you mentioned tasting cuppings, and I almost want to talk a little bit about the difference between the two, because coffee tastings are wonderful, but I've only been to one or two cuppings before, and it's a surprise if you're not used to what you're going to see and what you're going to hear. Talk to us a little bit about what a cupping is.
It's true. I mean, you hear it, it almost sounds inappropriate. What the heck is a cupping? But like you're going to be violated or something. But anyways, a cupping is actually a way. It's similar to a wine tasting. How with a wine, you take a small amount of wine, you swirl it, you look at it, there's a specific way that you are able to taste what's there. Cuppings, you brew a small amount of grounds in a cup without a filter. It forms a crust on the top. You then break the crust, inhale the aroma to get the full experience, and then you take a teaspoon of the liquid and you slurp it loudly.
And I understand, the more loudly, the better.
Yes, you're supposed to slurp it loud. Anyway, so it's this process where you're able to judge and see what kinds of coffee you like, you don't like. So when you go to a coffee shop, you can better determine what you might enjoy better.
Yep. That's exciting.
Yeah,
first time I went to a cupping, I thought, obviously I didn't know the rules. I thought someone was violating protocol. But the slurp, I guess it's to just shoot the coffee back to your throat as quickly as possible. Tom Alfonso, right across the plaza at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, he was telling me that that's the same approach when you're tasting a fine gourmet extra virgin olive oil. You want to slurp it and suck it as quickly as possible. It's olive oil, but it really does make a difference. So the Tucson Coffee Crawl, again, when is it going to be, and how can people find out more information about it?
It's a week from today. November 10th starts at 9 a.m., and you can find out all the information you need at TucsonCoffeeCrawl.com.
TucsonCoffeeCrawl.com.
You got it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, I know you have a lot of people that have come to celebrate this event and that are part of this event. Is there one cup of Joe in this community that just has Laura Adams all a quiver?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, I'm hoping to figure out what that cup of Joe is going to be. I am an amateur with coffee. That's why I'm putting on the event. I want to learn more about it. So I'm going to be crawling myself. I'm going to be going to all the different events, and I'm going to be able to figure out what coffee I enjoy the most.
I love it. Well, Laura Adams with the Tucson Coffee Crawl. Again, TucsonCoffeeCrawl.com, and we want to make sure that all of our listeners go online, check it out, map your crawl, and really be introduced to the romance and the mystery.
It is a romance. I like
that. And the nostalgia of what a true cup of coffee is all about. Laura, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, Laura.
We're broadcasting live again at Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell, yucking it up with all of our foodie friends from across the community. And as I said, we're broadcasting deep in the heart of Social Hour here, as we do every Saturday at 4 o'clock. And speaking of Social Hour, I'm enjoying a lovely Moscow Mule. Cheers to you again,
cheers.
Rita Conley. Served in this wonderful, iconic Copper Cup. And there's only one man in this community who can tell us the real story about this whole Copper Cup idea. In fact, he is the owner of Union Public House himself. Grant Kruger's here. What's up, boss?
Hi, how's it going? Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
I mean, we couldn't miss it. I mean, people say social hour, Union. We clear our calendars, Grant Kruger. Anyway, we're going to be talking to Chef Jack Tate in the second half of the show about how this really is a food-forward kind of a pub atmosphere. I think it defies the assumptions of what a pub is all about from the culinary perspective. But I want to talk with you a little bit about what's happening behind the bar, because when you walk into the doors at Union, you know, right across from this wonderful, iconic American flag, that's the backdrop against which we're broadcasting now. But you see this glorious bar, which is the centerpiece of this wonderful place. Talk to us a little bit about your idea for creating this wraparound bar, really what it means.
Well, we thought that the bar is really going to be the heart of any pub concept, and it was really important for us to have the bar be part of the restaurant as opposed to segregated from the restaurant. In most traditional restaurant design, the bar area is always a subsect of the restaurant put off to the side, guests who are perhaps waiting for a table, and it's completely separate. But we wanted to have it be part of the restaurant so that hustle and bustle was felt by the guests. The ambiance, the noise, the excitement of the patrons at the bar permeated into the dining room as well.
And you guys have nailed it, because when you think about the authentic public house, even going back to colonial times, I mean, this was the place where the seeds of dissension were sown.
Exactly.
You know, where we were talking about how we're going to do things differently, and there's where, you know, we're telling stories and we're coming up with great ideas and we're creating things. And that's, there was always a buzz, a din, really. And you've really captured that. And every time you come into to Union Public House, there's always that camaraderie and that conversation going on, which really is a huge part of the experience you want your guests to have.
I think so as well. And that's what makes that circular, really oval design of the bar so neat as well, is that it's got a great community feeling.
Right.
You can look across and see the patrons across from you and be part of their conversation, see what they've got going on, as opposed to just staring at a wall and having your back to the rest of the restaurant.
Plus, really, the bar stools are comfortable.
Yeah, and I can count on one hand, frankly, how many comfortable bar stools there are in Southern Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got something comfortable in my hand, and it's a Moscow Mule, lovingly prepared for me by one of your very capable mixologists, but it's served in a copper cup, and I challenge anyone within my voice to be able to find another copper cup like this. What in the world is the story with this gorgeous vessel for magic?
Well, the copper cup and the Moscow Mule were invented in the, I'd say, mid-40s by the owners of Cock and Bull Ginger Beer themselves.
Never knew that.
And they were looking for a manner in which to promote their ginger beer product throughout the United States. They took it from the West Coast to New York and began to introduce this drink in New York hotels. And the copper cup was a unique vessel in the sense that by keeping it cold and frozen, it kept the drink a lot colder. The copper being very conductive, of course, it maintains the cold a little bit better than your standard glassware. It's also a wonderful topic of discussion, and unfortunately sometimes theft, too, from the patrons.
I could not imagine, Grant Kruger, that that's possible. But anyway, I don't seem to keep it in my cup long enough to actually test the claim that it will keep your drink colder for longer. But I love the fact that you've thought about our very selfish needs when it comes to doing whatever you think you need to do to make sure that we have smiles on our faces.
Thank you very much. We've got trained professionals fully prepared to handle that situation in case your cup runneth empty over there.
Well, they're rarely going to happen. Okay, I was counting your taps. I got lost. I got your beer taps. I lost count. I got distracted. From A to Z, how many bad boys do you have on tap back there?
There are now 30 beers on tap at Union Public House and 105 beers in total.
Wow.
30 on tap and 105 in total. So you're going to find some of the great craft beers from all parts of, really, the world here at Union Public House. In fact, I think you're also featuring some Southern Arizona beer here as well.
Absolutely. We'd love to purchase beer locally whenever possible. We've got Dragoon Brewery's Ojo Blanco Belgian Wit Style Ale.
Beautiful.
Right now. Dragoon's a new upstart in Tucson. I think you've seen their IPA probably in a number of places now starting to make its way through Tucson. But the Ojo Blanco, I believe, is probably unique right now to Union Public House. We thought we'd try one of their seasonal beers and allow our guests to try something different that they wouldn't just ordinarily find on the shelves.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
We also do a lot of work with Four Peaks Brewing out of Tempe, Arizona as well, too.
That's cool.
Their owner, Ted Golden, happened to work here in St. Phil's Plaza back in the day with Chef Jack Tate, and he worked at Ovens, for a long time.
Oh, that's
a long time ago.
Okay, so we got a ton of beers. You know, we've got some great wines, as Rita Conley attested to, and, of course, the Copper Cup beverages, which are on special $5 up until, I believe, 8 o'clock tonight. But what is this punch bowl idea that you guys have rolled out on your menu? What is a punch bowl cocktail?
Well, punch bowl cocktail is essentially a cocktail for four. think almost like you're...
Or for two if Rita Conley and I are coming together for social hour.
Well, the liquor board might have a few things to say potentially about serving a vessel of that size to two individuals.
We'll just invite two people to sit at the table.
Yeah, right, right.
What makes the Punch Bowl unique is that it's an opportunity to share a drink across the table. We like to do a lot of dishes that are family style or that present the opportunity to share and socialize. And we really feel that the Punch Bowl provides that, something that you can sit down and scoop out and share and serve to yourself, you know, amongst friends. It's a really neat opportunity, I think, for guests to do that. Of course, they're for four people or more, because the amount of alcohol that sits in a beverage like that is legally too much to actually serve to two or three guests.
Wow, that's interesting. That's cool.
So you probably have a two-bowl maximum for a party of 10, or how that works.
Unless it's the Russell party, of course.
Okay, see, that's what I was gunning for, Rita.
There you
know, we brought him out, and we did it on live radio. We've got 10 million witnesses, so
right, exactly.
You're done now.
Great.
But anyway, as we said, we're broadcasting deep in the heart of social hour here. You've got happy hour more than just a couple of hours Monday through Friday. I mean, this is really a destination for people to come and hang, as we said. Talk about social hour.
Well, social hour runs from 4 to 7 at Union Public House 7 days a week. Yeah, we're big fans of doing a social hour 7 days a week. There's so many places that don't do that on the weekends. And we just felt that was unfair. We wanted to have a place where people could come and unwind after whenever their workday ends, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. We do a lot of reverse social hours in the evening as well, too, to get a lot of service industry clients, where a favorite hangout of other waiters and bartenders.
That's always a good sign. That's always a good sign. If the waitresses and bartenders are coming to your place, that's always a good sign.
Yeah, we love them. And so we stay open until 2 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week as well, to garner that business and serve food on the late night menu till 1 o'clock in the morning as well to help promote that. But we're really proud of our social hour. We run $4 everything on tap.
Wow.
We've got $4 premium well drinks as well. We discount a number of our specialty cocktails down to $6, like the Moscow Mule for its normal price. And we've really, I think Tucson's such a big happy hour driven town that it's a really important component of any restaurant bar to have a strong happy hour.
Well, and you're situated in a really neat, you're like near enough to the university and near enough to the foothills that you can bring in all kinds of people, you know, and it's and the working group, you know, whoever it is, it's just a really...
St. Phil's Plaza is really an exceptional property for that. Jack and I worked together back in the day at Breckenridge Brewery here in the plaza.
Okay.
So we love the area.
Yeah.
Owner Grant Kruger is making a lot of friends here at Union Public House. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of social hour at Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell. Join us for a wonderful meal, some wonderful cocktails, a punch bowl or two, but bring your neighborhood to join you. And we're going to find out what this is about the food that's bringing people in. So stick around for Jack Tate. You're listening to Matt Russell live on The Menu Live. We'll be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. It's On the Menu, live with Matt Russell on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell, having a great time in social hour and darn near to the end of my Moscow Mule. But you know what? I'm going to show remarkable restraint and actually be just caress the rest of it and not have to worry about ordering a second one because, you know, I have to drive. Maybe a punch bowl or two. I don't know. Anyway, we're here with my celebrity co-host for the full hour, Rita Conley for the Tucson Weekly.
Hi, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Having a great time yucking it up with our foodie friends here, and we just thought this would be a great opportunity here at Union Public House to talk to a man that we're quite interested in. We're intrigued with him, and the second we saw his picture, you know, we did a quick Google search. You know, we posted it up on our Facebook the moment we captured it because there's this wonderful, iconic, you know, chef look with the chef black coat, and he's crossed his arms, and he's proudly standing in front of the American flag.
You know,
and if that doesn't say Chef Jack Tate, I don't know what is. Chef, thanks for hosting today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know, you know, you're a very busy man, and I just it's a privilege for you to come, you know, for us to have you come out here and share some of your time to talk a little bit about the culinary approach here at Union Public House. And before we do that, we always like to find a little bit more about our guests and what, you know, what brought them to, you know, their current places and what their journey has been. How did you get started in the culinary arts?
Well, actually, I started here in town at Mama Louisa's, a little local Italian place.
One of our favorites.
Yes.
That's good to know.
The Elefantes are great people.
No question.
I started there. My grandmother worked there for 35 years. My mom worked there for a number of years. Pretty much every member of my family had worked there at some point or the other.
Wow.
But I started actually washing dishes there when I was 15 years old, and the rest is history. I'm a Tucson native. My mom was an extremely good cook. My grandmother was a really good cook. Never got the chance to go to culinary school. Was offered a full ride to go to CCA, but actually turned it down to stay here. And I started running a restaurant called Firecracker.
Very familiar.
Okay. I was the executive chef there at, well, it was 14 years ago.
My goodness.
Really, that long?
That long ago.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
Now, did you have to fire up the propane
torch?
Once or twice.
Those things weren't always reliable. I was up on the roof once or twice. Or fishing a towel out of the hoods from the walks. So it was a very interesting location. And Mr. McMahon gave me a lot of leeway. And actually, that's where I met my mentor, the guy who actually trained me in a lot of my culinary technique, Michael C. Brown.
And you know what? Let me just stop and say, I love when chefs talk about mentors because, you know, I have my own mentor as a PR guy, going back to my first days in Washington, D.C. 25 years ago, and I love telling stories about my mentor. So when you bring your mentor into your story, it's an absolutely beautiful thing. And Michael C. Brown, I mean, man, what a guy to have on your side, chef.
Oh, yeah. He was very influential in my career. He got me to the point where I am today. He had a lot of patience for a young man who wasn't necessarily easy to control.
So. Grant, let me ask you this, Grant Krueger. I mean, can you understand that?
Well, now
situation?
He's an old man who's not easy to control.
That's great. So you were from Tucson. You go to high school here?
Actually, yeah. I went to Rincon High and Tucson High. Actually, I'm not a high school graduate, surprisingly enough. I ended up working. I was in the kitchen. My mom was very sick when I was younger, so me and my brother both had to start working at an early age, and I found my niche in the kitchen.
You stepped up to do what you had to do.
Oh, That's every time.
You know, there's tens of thousands of people in this community that have celebrated the fact that you decided to put your gifts to work.
I'm happy you did.
Looking back at those first days at Mama Luisa's, and now here you are, I think one of the places that so many people across Southern Arizona are talking about, because I think it's just a surprise, because when you hear pub or public house, you're not thinking about fresh sage and pecorino and duck confit, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I'm a little, I have an eclectic taste. I'm trained in a lot of different cuisines, but like my whole philosophy when it comes to food is like, I like to make great food and I have a very talented staff. I have a very talented crew and they all bring something to the table. But the most important thing for me is to make great food available to everybody. That's why we keep the price point relatively low and it's accessible. And I buy all my meat and all my produce. I know where all of it comes from. Every single bit of it, I buy from local purveyors.
Yeah, that's excellent.
You know, I import my meats from mostly, they're mostly European, and I'm all about it. I like good quality product, and I like to give it to people that normally wouldn't know how to get it.
No, that's beautiful.
Well, you know, the food is familiar. I mean, you have fish and chips, and you have all the you know, the usual kind of pub food, but it's not at all, it's not scary. You know what I mean? Anybody comes in here thinking, oh, he's going to put sage on something. It's not that way at all.
Right,
it's very comfortable. It's craveable. It's just it's really good, solid food.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's not just one man's idea, though. The thing is I like to bring everybody into it. Like, there's a lot of domineering chefs and people who like to pump their egos, so to speak. But I'm not into that. I'm very into my crew. I'm very into their success. You know, I have a lot of guys who are brought up who are just dishwashers are now working in the line and cooking and stuff like that. I'm a firm believer in that. Like, you know, everybody has something to offer and everybody has something to
That's great. How many people are in the kitchen?
I'm sorry?
How many people do you have in the kitchen?
I have 26.
Wow.
I have a staff of 26. Yeah, it's a good-sized staff.
Are they as craveable as the food? I mean, because Rita talked about your menu being craveable, and I know you're, as a chef, you're as craveable as they get. but is your culinary team as craveable as you are?
They're great. They're really great. I've lucked out. I have very two talented sous chefs that work for me, and they work nonstop. And my guys, everyone's committed. If you're not committed to it, then I don't really need you here.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not that much of a hard guy to work with at times, but I'm very demanding and I expect a lot of them. And they commit and they're all here to one specific goal, and that's service.
Let's talk a little bit about your menu, because I think the architecture of the menu is interesting to me. Okay, so it's a large menu. There's a lot going on here, but you sort of have it categorized in these interesting little pockets. Walk us through the menu, you know, how you've created it in different, you know, the appetizers and salads and such.
Well, you know, with the whole pub concept, you want to make it accessible to everybody. Like, you know, like if people are here just to maybe have a couple of cocktails, you want to maybe provide them with finger foods and stuff like that.
Totally.
But I also make sure that they're able to sit down and have an entree too. So I make all the appetizers. able to share. You could stick them in the middle of the table, have a bunch of friends come and eat with you, and everybody can get a little piece. But then, like, we get a little bit heavier when it goes into the entrees and stuff like that. Like, it's good-sized portions. It's evenly out, and it's just, you know, I try to make strong sellers, and not only that, but what people want. That's the big thing about it, is what people actually want. Mm-hmm. I try to keep it low-key, not too, like, what am I eating or anything like that. I make it so everyone can understand what they're eating and what they're getting.
And I think Rita brings up a very good point. You know, it has something for everyone. So don't be put off by, you know, the pecorino and the sage. Although foodies like us, we, you know, our mouths are agape, Chef Jack Dave. But there's really something for every personality and profile and palate here. Now, is there one dish? And my niece Evelyn Ripple, as we talked about, a very proud employee here of Union Public House. She's sitting up there at the bar with her aunt and my beautiful wife Nancy. But we talked about a new fall menu. What are the kinds of things that you think about with the season and the flavors of fall, and how have you incorporated those into this new menu?
Well, what I like to do is definitely shop for things that are like available, like especially during the season. Like in Arizona or Tucson mostly, there's only three seasons. There's not four. It's
sadly
hot, yeah, cold, and not hot enough yet, or not close to being that hot. But I like squashes and like deeper, richer, heartier flavors during the wintertime. People like to pack on the pounds. You know, yeah, and that's kind of like the direction that we go, lighter fare in the summer. So it changes. It always keeps the menu evolving as well. But, like, you have to keep it seasonal and fresh so, like, people understand that, you know, not everything's grown in a GMO type of, like, production.
Exactly.
I'm not into stuff like that. I like to know, I like to buy my tomatoes out of Wilcox at the right time and all these other things.
Outstanding tomatoes.
Gorgeous.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, we try to, like, spend a lot of time sourcing these products to make sure that they're available actually in the surrounding areas around here.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, like, they're available at that time of the year, and that they're the freshest and the best quality that we could possibly get.
You know, it's a great aesthetic for foodies, just because the way the restaurant is designed. We talked with Grant a little bit about it earlier in the show, but, you know, everything from the flooring. I mean, when you walk across these floors, you really have this sense that you're walking across the floor of the Gadsby Tavern, you know, in Williamsburg,
right,
Virginia. So, you know, I strongly suggest, folks, that you come in here and enjoy this wonderful dining room and get a sense of all the kind of the zones and the nooks and crannies here. But we have to have, you know, a mention, Grant Kruger, of your gorgeous patio. I think one of the
absolutely
best patios in southern Arizona.
Right.
And you can, it's not just for enjoying a lovely cocktail. You can actually eat, you know, lunch or dinner out there as well. Talk about this great, iconic patio.
This is one of the most beautiful patios in all of Tucson. We're very fortunate to have had the opportunity to open up a restaurant here in St. Phil's Plaza. And I have to thank Dr. Robert Selby for that opportunity.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Jack and I had worked in the plaza in a number of restaurants over the years. I worked as a waiter in this building when it was Daniel's. And so it's fun for us to come back to a building where I used to wait tables in and redo the place. And
is the ghost of Jimmy Brewer sort of still around here?
Yeah.
does he continue to haunt the place?
He would be at the bar if the ghost was in fact here, sir, most certainly.
Yeah, so you've got some great little fire features outside in the patio. Great place to spend a cool fall night.
Yeah, we've got some great new patio heaters out there as well to help out with that regard. It's east facing, so it's out of the harsh desert sunlight in the happy hour period of time when that sun sets out to the west. It's got gorgeous old growth trees and fountains.
Nice awning.
Yeah, and just a really beautiful Spanish colonial architecture that I don't think you're going to find at many other properties in southern Arizona.
Well, it wraps around the whole restaurant, you know, which is really, really beautiful. It's big, it's roomy. You're not, there's like a cozy atmosphere here, but you're not like crowded ever. You know, you don't feel like you're being smashed together sometimes, you know. I don't want to hear the conversation at the next table, and it doesn't happen here, you know. But still, I feel it's comfortable and cozy.
Thank you. Yeah, we're just such big fans of this particular plaza. It's got some unique physical attributes that I think you just can't replicate anywhere else. And with the opportunity to work alongside Vivace Restaurant, who's been
right,
you know, a personal hero of mine over the years. I mean, the guy just does everything right, Daniel Scordato, to even have the opportunity to open next to him.
What a lovely,
a really
what a lovely sentiment
for Jack and I, too.
Very, very nice.
To have.
Great chef.
So,
yeah.
So if there's one item here, you know, this is like the, you know, there's, you can say, Russell, why did you possibly, you have to ask me this question on live radio, but you know who's coming. So, you know, is there one item that someone wants to come into the restaurant and, you know, engage your server in conversation about, you know, I've never been here before, and I hear all this great talk about Chef Jack Tate, and I am inspired by his story, and here I am to dine of His Majesty. And I don't know even where to begin. Is there one item on this menu that just screams Jack Tate?
That would have to be the chop, the UPH chop, the pork chop or the pork rib. It's basically a pork short rib, which is excellent. It's slow braised for 16 hours. It's delicious.
16 hours.
Yeah.
So Grant doesn't let you go home then?
He does at times. It's great.
Okay, so let me just ask you this. So this is karubi. Is it the actual pork?
Yeah, it's a karubi chop. It's actually relatively a newer cut of meat. It hasn't been, like, totally used a lot. Like, I actually researched this pork chop, amazingly enough. I love pork, obviously. But, like this pork chop, I had had this dish designed before Grant and I even opened the restaurant.
Wow. And I want to get back to something, I don't know if you said it or Grant said it, but about price points. So in talking about this beautiful karubi pork rib, coming with gouda and bacon hash brown, cherry barbecue, and fried parsnips, you're thinking, this is $29, this is $30. You guys have priced this at only $17. Yeah. So Grant's... I thought you were in the business to make money, Grant. I mean, this is just a great price point for a gorgeous culinary experience.
Thank you very much. We really just wanted to have the restaurant be approachable to everybody and have a price point that was affordable, a place that wasn't just destination dining, somewhere where you could come more than once a week, and hopefully we'll see you guys in here more than once a week.
Yeah, one of our listeners actually just texted here. He's actually had the UPH pork. Let me just give a shout-out to our good friend John Farlow, has been a celebrity co-host from time to time, a fellow foodie and PR maven, loves this place. So we'd like to put some of these bold claims
to the
test, Chef Jack Tate. So we have a lovely risotto, it looks like. What shall we begin with, given the fact
that I already started with risotto.
You already started with risotto. Okay, so talk about this dish.
Well, risotto, I love risotto.
I do, too.
I actually trained under a gentleman named Rich Kobe for a period of time. He was one of the original owners of L, Wine Country Restaurant. He's very huge into classic preparation of things. We do the risotto the old-fashioned way, vermouth, onions cut the same size. It's a very long process to make it, and it's worth it every bit. Actually, this dish is kind of similar to one of his. It's actually a tribute to him. He's a very talented chef, and it's very fall. It's very fall. It embodies fall. It's a cling to your ribs, thick. It's creamy. It's hearty. It's filling. And it looks like, I like to use this saying a lot when I use it to describe it. It's like dense, like a neutron star. It's like,
wow.
It's good. It's really good. And it's very filling. Like you see that portion, it's not a huge portion, but it's a lot bigger than you possibly could think it is.
Well, this texture's going on here, and the duck part of it is just outstanding.
Thank you.
Like real ducky, you know.
The creaminess of that risotto, mm-hmm. and the duck just sort of melts away in your mouth, and that just comes from that reduction, that confit.
The confit cooked in its own fat, it makes it even better.
And so presentation is such a payoff here, yeah. Because you've got this bowl that you almost need like a ladder to ascend. You know, it's one of these, and you probably help pick out all these kinds of things. You want the best vehicle for your art, the gorgeous placeware here, and the risotto, and then this is with the pecorino,
yes.
Romano, only
uh-huh.
the best.
Yes.
Absolutely delicious. So strongly encourage you folks. And this is only $22? This
yes.
is what we were talking about?
Uh-huh. Get them while they last.
Oh,
here tonight.
It is
goodness.
The entree's changing. We like to make it special every time you come in here.
Okay, well, speaking of special, there's something that you have put before us with love and with intention.
Yep.
I could tell. I could see it in your eyes.
Oh, no, that's actually, I'm going to have to go ahead and give credit for that dish to my sous, Patrick Malarchik. He does a great job. He's a very talented young man. I'm very blessed to have him on my team. Liquid cornbread, which I never even heard of until this young man brought it out. It's a boneless short rib, beef short rib, with a cassoulet. And we change the seasonal green on that to whatever's available, obviously, because I like to keep it fresh and make sure that the crop is good. Right now we're doing a Swiss chard.
Beautiful. Cool. Okay, gorgeous. So you've got the emerald green and that beautiful ruby red of the chard. Now this is like a navy white bean that you're using for the garnish. And now are we doing this over polenta then? Or
Actually, that's the liquid cornbread. Check it out.
Liquid cornbread.
Okay, so this is a first on the menu live, liquid cornbread. It's going into my mouth as we speak.
And the cassoulet is outstanding.
Oh, you've done it. You've done it. I just want like a Thirstbuster size.
Okay. Actually, I was asked by one of the servers yesterday if she could have a bowl of it.
Okay. So you know, I look at you watching me pick up my knife, and you showed remarkable restraint. You sort of looked at me, and you had this grin, like he's going to find out very, very soon that you don't need a knife for crying out loud.
You're gonna drive your fork straight through that piece of meat. Oh. It's tender, tender, tender.
Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And short rib, you know, it's just tough to nail. You've nailed it. It just, again, it's just beautifully tender. This wonderful reduction that blankets it in a loving way. You look at the inside, it's just absolutely pink. It's beautiful. You've captured the essence of what a short rib is supposed to be. And with this kiss of the liquid cornbread, it's doing wonderful things inside of it.
It's a great dish.
Fantastic.
It's a very great dish. I'm very proud of that young man. He does a really good job.
And how wonderful for you to salute your team. Again, we've all run into chefs that couldn't tell you the names of the people that work for them in the kitchen.
I'm all about it.
But you're all about the village concept. And, boy, I would say you're going to be mentor to many a chef up in the next generation, because if this is your idea of what the culinary arts is all about at a pub, for crying out loud, I salute you, Chef Jack Tate.
Well, thank you. Everyone needs the care, man. No one can just be half-hearted in this. This is a hard job. It's not easy. It's been glorified a little bit by the Food Network, but it's lots of hard work.
I love it.
It's lots of hard work.
Totally.
It's lots of commitment.
There's not a lot. There's no glamour to it, you know, and people want to. They ask people, they go, what do you want to do? I want to have my own TV show. And it's like cooking show. And I go, well, I don't think so.
I'm not
so,
a really
you know?
Public guy,
no.
to be honest with you.
No,
you
that's
know,
cool.
You know, Grant has to pull me out of it every once in a while, you know, so I can talk to people. And I enjoy talking to people. I really do. But, you know, I'm only as good as my team. And I'm very blessed. I'm very lucky to have such a good team and a lot of hard workers on my team.
Well, you know what? There's going to be a blessing to one of our listeners because in Grant Kruger's wisdom and his charity, and he's all about charity, he's going to give a gift certificate to one of our listeners who wants to try Union Public House for themselves. And if you want to come for lunch, if you want to come for social hour, if you want to come for dinner, if you want to come to Chef Jack Tate's house one late night on a Saturday, will that redeem at the that's right. You never go home. You never get out of here.
So I try.
We want to do our trivia question of the week and give an opportunity for one of our listeners to call in and guess the answer to the question for a gift certificate to experience this incredible place for yourself. And Grant Kruger, what is our trivia question this week?
Mr. Russell, we'd like to know what year the Moscow Mule was created. The Moscow Mule is a very iconic cocktail to Union Public House.
Indeed.
So if you can come across what year that is, I've got a $50 Union Public House.
Oh, my goodness, that's great.
Oh, you'll be able to buy lots of stuff for
$50. Lots of stuff for $50. What year was the first Moscow Mule made? If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right here, right now, at 880-KNST, 880-5678. Good luck, and we'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. It's On the Menu, live with Matt Russell on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell, broadcast live with a beautiful reduction of roasted short rib going down my chin as I speak, broadcasting live from Union Public House on the southeast corner of River and Campbell. And the moment we went to the phones and went to a commercial, all the lines back at KNST shot up. They're big. They're bright. It's like the 4th of July over there at the KNST studio. So we want to know the answer to the question, what year was the first Moscow Mule ever made? And we're going to go right to line one and say hello to Ron. Ron, what's your answer?
My answer is 2005.
Are you there?
Hello, Ron. Are you with us?
Yeah, 2005.
2005, Ron says. Well, Ron, no. It was a bit before 2005. It's an iconic cocktail, which means that it was quite a while ago. But anyway, Ron, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. That opens up a line at 880-5678, 880-KNST. What year was the very first Moscow Mule made, not in Tucson, but ever? We want to give away a $50 gift card to come to the Union Public House. We're going to say hi to Mick on line two. Mick, what's your answer?
1995.
1995. Well, boy, I wish this was a two-hour show because we got a lot of time to kill.
There we go.
All right, so no, Mick, I'm sorry. It's actually quite a bit before that. But anyway, we appreciate your listening, and thanks so much for calling in. That opens up a line at 880-KNST, 880-5678 for a chance to win a gift card to experience Union Public House for yourself. What year was the Moscow Mule first made? And I can't remember the name of the third caller, but we're going to ask Kat to Bill. Bill, welcome to On the Menu Live. What's your answer?
1952.
He says. Grant, what do you say?
Getting closer. Not quite.
Okay, we're getting very close, I would say. A lot closer than 2005. Anyway, thank you so much, Bill. You're very close, but we want to open up another line and say hello to Tony. Tony, welcome to On the Menu Live. What's your answer?
42.
1942, he says.
One.
Okay. So, gosh, Tony, you are so close, but you are not quite there. That opens up a line at 880-KNST, 880-5670. Ron, boy, Mr. Fast Fingers thinks he can get in again. I guess we'll give you another shot at it. Why not? What's the answer, Ron, for a chance to come to Union Public House?
Hi. This is Ron again.
Hi. Hi, Ron. Hey. How are you?
It's try.
Only an hour show, Ron.
Hey, I'm about to
What's
try
the answer,
guess.
Sir?
1940.
Okay, go for it. 1940, he says. Okay, no, Ron, that's not it. But listen, it's not 1940, and it's not 1942. So who's going to call in with the right answer at 880-KNST, 880-5678 for a chance to win a gift card to Union Public House? Mick, what's the answer, man?
1941.
It's right there. Beautiful.
Chef Jack Tate and Greg Kruger, the owner, says, you got it, 1941.
Really?
It's indeed the answer. Now, were you 21 years old by the year 1941, Mick?
I can't add that well.
But anyway, I don't know if you've ever had a real Moscow mule, but if you haven't, you are in for a treat, my friend. You're going to be the guest of Grant Kruger and Chef Jack Tate for an amazing culinary experience, a great craft cocktail, a great beer, some wonderful wine, you know, a great meal. It's all going to be done just for you with a $50 gift card. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for playing. But don't go anywhere, because Kat back at the studio is going to get all your information, and we're going to get that gift card out to you in the mail. Thanks so much, Mick. So, 1941. Now, are you honoring the classic Moscow Mule recipe that was first created in 1941?
Absolutely. It's going to be a Russian-based vodka. Number one, you got to have a Moscow Mule with Russian vodka.
That makes sense.
Ginger beer and fresh-squeezed lime juice served in a copper cup.
Now, these copper cups are actually Russian copper cups as well, are they not?
No, we actually source those cups from a number of different places around the world at this point, as we've had to replace them.
Because
a few guests have removed them for mementos in case they've used
public
house.
You know, and we certainly do not condone, you know, breaking the law. If you want to have a Moscow Mule, have one and enjoy what it does, but leave the cup behind.
Or at least offer to pay for it.
Thank you for that message. We approve of that.
So the Moscow Mule has got the Russian vodka. You've got the Kentucky Mule. I'm a bourbon guy. I love great bourbon. It's a Moscow Mule with bourbon instead of vodka.
Absolutely. Yep.
And are you moving some Mexican mules around the place?
Absolutely, sure. Tequila is very popular. You know, tequila is really in right now. So a nice Mexican mule. We pour Sauza as our house tequila. But
very nice.
Any nice white tequila, I think, goes really well with ginger beer. And fresh squeezed lime juice as well, and that's a Mexican meal.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about the white or the blanco or the silver tequila, because I think people say, you know, I'm going to have an upscale margarita and I'm going to put an añejo or a reposado in my cocktail. Don't do that.
No, it makes no sense at all. But, you know, we'll do it. And anything for the guest, of course.
That's what we like to hear. So anyway, we have just about another minute and a half before we close out this delicious broadcast. We want to make sure that all of our listeners know exactly where you're located, hours of operation, and how can they find about you online. I know you've got a huge Facebook page.
Absolutely. You can find us at facebook.com/UnionTucson. We're available via the web at UnionTucson.com. Union Public House is located at the southeast corner of River and Campbell. It's 4340 North Campbell Avenue, St. Philip's Plaza, alongside the lovely Vivace Restaurant. It uses a wonderful landmark over there. Our phone number is 520-329-8575.
And ask for Grant Kruger and Chef Jack Tate by name.
Absolutely, guys, we'll be here.
Thanks so much for partying with us this afternoon.
So
what a pleasure. And Rita Conley from the Tucson Weekly and
Goyo.com
and Well Fed Foodie.
I had a blast.
Always love having you on the show as well.
I love it, Matt. I love it. I have a really good time. Plus, I get to eat good food, so hey.
That's what it's all about. Anyway, you're listening to On the Menu Live. If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website by Monday of next week. In the meantime, this is Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it's On the Menu Live. Have a great weekend, and bear down, Arizona.